It's not intended to make you happy for the rest of your life. Jesus is meant to make you happy. Now, it's not that marriage can be joyful and wonderful, but it is not, you are not happy because it's being meant to make your wife or your husband. And those of us who are married, who have been married longer than a year, maybe you probably know that's true. And so, what we're doing here is we're talking about marriage in light of eternity, in light of what God wants from us in our commitment to our beloved, to our husband, to our wife. How should we respond to this vision that God wants us together for the rest of our lives so we can stand in front of Him and He can say, well, I'm going to be faithful to Him? Because what we do here is going to have an impact on our eternity, and whether or not we're faithful here, that's going to either cause us to regret or cause us to rejoice when we go and stand in front of Him. And the things that I'm going to talk about, even if you're divorced, even if you are single, if you're a student, if you are a widow, this should have relevance for you, regardless of whether you are married or not. So that's what we're going to talk about. The three passages. We're going to talk about the mission of God, the mission of marriage this morning. And I'm going to read these scriptures, and then we'll jump right in. First, Matthew 6:33. But see, first, the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. In Matthew 28:16-20. Now the other disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, all glory in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. 2 Corinthians 5:17-20. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors of Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We have a mentor here that being one of these Wednesday morning, one of these Saturday morning, we're talking about this last week. Last week we had this was on serving that, how many of you, if you're married, raise your hand, you are competitive with your spouse? Are you competitive? Do you compete? Try to win? Not that many of you, I doubt that. I bet a lot of you are competitive and there's a goal. Last week we talked about it. Are you being competitive? Try to win. We all know the argument. We all know we're right. There's nothing new there. Everyone thinks that they're right. But instead of trying to win the argument, try to win in out-serving one another. And so that was the goal. That was the goal over the last week. And we were talking about this mentor and how it is odd. It is a paradox. That if you want to be happy in life, don't make happiness your ultimate goal. Okay? Isn't that weird? That's true though. If you want to be happy in life, don't make happiness your ultimate goal. Don't seek and follow whatever it is you think is going to make you happy. Because if you do that, in the short term, your long term will look pretty bad. So in marriage, if you're angry and upset and frustrated, the short term would be, I gotta get out of this, he's not respecting me, she isn't meeting my needs. So if you seek your happiness, you're not gonna not, then you should be God's servant. Why? Because God is the most valuable being in the universe. And if he were to focus all of his hopes and joys on us, what a disaster that would be. No, God loves his own glory more than anything else, and that is for our good, because when we participate in giving him glory, that's the most good of him. That's the mission of God. And human beings are the only creatures in the whole universe that can choose to give him glory or choose to rebel against him. Lots of things give God glory. Mountains give God glory. Look at the grandeur of mountains and see how small we are. And that's glorious. Well, did the mountain choose to do that? No. Does the lion, when he hunts down prey with his, you know, all his fierceness, does he, he's just hungry. He's not like, hey, I'm going to go give God glory. He's just not like him. No. He just does what his instinct tells him to do. You and I alone can choose to give God glory or choose to rebel against him.
Thank you.
God to each other. And there's only a short period of time when they're actually looking into each other's eyes. Why? But I mean, as a marriage, they're everything I need. I'm just going to keep staring at them. You know, everyone would be married, of course. We're just staring at each other thinking, this is the most beautiful woman I've ever seen in my life. She's unbelievable. I can't wait to be able to leave it. And then a couple years later, you're staring at each other's eyes. Look at those issues. Isn't that what marriage is? You don't have to nod, okay? I guess you can drop this. But look, in the marriage ceremony, the wedding ceremony, you aren't staring into each other's eyes for very long. You are for one period of the ceremony, and that is when you stand facing each other, looking each other in the eye, and you make insane promises to each other. You make promises, well, to have a goal from this day forward, for richer or poorer, for better or worse, in sickness and health, till death do you part. Those are insane promises. But that's what you make to each other. And you're looking at each other. The rest of the service, you're kind of angled up, and you're looking up, and the pastor's right there, so you're listening to him, but he's not, don't worry about him. You're really, what you're doing is you're facing the cross. You're looking at the cross, and that is the message. difference. There's one of you that's driving the other church, right? One of you is wanting to go deeper, the other one is like, the brakes, heels dug in, no thank you, don't want to do it. My good wife, my husband, one of you is more interested in engaging in my mission than the other of you is. This will probably make some of you feel uncomfortable because you know exactly. In marriage, you know, I'm not saying I'm really here, don't do that, but you know who you are. One of you wants to pray together. The other one feels like that's really weird and awkward, no thank you. One of you wants to be in a small group and lead a small group. The other one of you would much rather watch football once that is, or to the mall. One of you wants to invite the neighbors, or the other just sees all the work involved in filling up the house so that you can look perfect, which you do not. This happens all the time. Very, very common. This is no bad first of all. This is a very common thing. For those of you who are ahead or leading spiritually, here's my word to you, okay? Pray a lot and nag less. Okay? Pray a lot. Talk about it less. Pray a lot. Don't judge. And just you, I mean, at this point in marriage, we all know that if we want our spouse to do something, you know, maybe the worst strategy is to tell them to do it over and over and over again. That's, like, that doesn't yield great results a lot of times. So pray and trust that God is saying that's not my kind of power. I love the variations of food. She thinks it's creepy. I love the surfing. She likes serious conversations. I enjoy surfing.